As always, the schus of our learning should be a refuah for Chaim Yisachar ben Chayim Mushkat, the covered god over sex.
Last year we were discussing a fascinating topic, that of balance, for Tosfos comments in Shabbos and Daf Dalet, the sugya of chatzei bishro shiyizka chavercha, that sometimes a person is faced with a situation that I have two options, I can sit back and do nothing, but as a result someone else will violate an avera chamura, or I can perform that which is an isser kal to save him from that consequence. So when do we assume in the spirit of balance that, so to speak, it is worth it? An avera lishma. We mentioned the Tosfos writes in Tainus and Daf Yud Aleph that this is relevant to other sugyas as well. A person who becomes a nazir, for example, Rabbi Elazar Kapper tells us that is a chet, and that is exactly why he brings a karban chatos at the conclusion of his nazirus. But yet Tosfos comments, even though that's true, that eino elachote, but sometimes will encourage a person to do something which is less than ideal. After all, as Rashi points out, the reason for juxtaposition, the smicha saparshios of sota and nazir, that haroa sota bekokulo yazir atzma min hayayin. You'll tell a person, I admit it's not ideal, but given these conditions, it is something that a person should embrace. And Tosfos compares that to a person who has a very bad dream during Shabbos, on Lo Shabbos, where a person will be told that, you know, it's important to fast even at the expense of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, only to be told subsequently that now you have to fast once again because you are mevatel the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. An unusual dichotomy that will argue that this is what you should do, but will acknowledge that at the same time it is far from ideal. There's an element of chet. So Tosfos writes that is clearly the case. In an ideal sense, in an idyllic world, that a person would not have to make these difficult decisions, but sometimes every corner that you turn there is a downside, and a person has to know that what is considered to be, so to speak, the lesser of two evils. And we pointed out, whenever a person engages in that particular practice, doing an avera, so to speak, l'shem shamayim, that's the key. It has to be lishma. And their lishma is considered to be that which is quite critical. Even though typically, the Gemara tells us from Safim and Afnun that la'olam yaso godam betore fil shalolishma, because shalolishma balishma, but when it comes to an avera lishma, the person's mindset is considered to be that which is absolutely critical. And that, we pointed out, was a fundamental difference between an essay del chalos essay as opposed to a chatei bishro sheyizke. Sometimes the Torah tells us under such circumstance the iser is suspended, independent of one's mindset. But sometimes in the spirit of weighing and balancing, ber lishma is considered to be absolutely critical. Abishol writes that this is crucially important when it comes to the mitzvah of Yibum. Normally speaking, that should be an Isser of Eshesach. But yet the mitzvah of Yibum overrides Eshesach. And Abishol says that, you know, the intent of that individual, of the brother who's performing Yibum, is something which is critical. He must do so solely, lahakim shem, la'achiv hames. And if he does not do so, Abishol says it's ki'ilo pogeya be'erv. Other Tanaim disagree and maintain that no, Yibum is hutra. After all, in these circumstances, the Isser of Eshesach does not apply. And therefore, even though ideally one should have that in mind, but nonetheless the mitzvah of Yibum will apply even short of Kavana Lishma, but yet Abishol maintains that that is not the case. And certainly that's true when it comes to an instance of Avera Lishma. Whenever you're not dealing with the technical geder of an essay del chalos essay, but rather that balance that it is worth performing an Avera to save yourself from a mitzvah, or even to save another from a mitzvah, in such a case that mindset is considered to be that which is critical. Where do you see that this is true? That concept of in Aveira Lishma. When you look in the Rambam, in Perek Beis of Hilchos Mamrim, there the Rambam discusses the Sugin Yevamos and Avtzarim Adeis, that tells us that Yesh Kwach Biyad Chachamim, Lakor Dover Minat Torah, that sometimes the Chachamim can tell you that one should not perform a mitzvah daraisa, do not be tokeya b'shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, don't be noto dalet minim when Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, precautionary halacha derabanan, agzera derabba, because shem yavirenu galamus b'shusa rabim. And therefore the Chachamim weigh in balance that it's more important to safeguard Shabbos, even at the expense of the mitzvah seseh of tkiyah shofar, even at the expense of the mitzvah of dalet minin. The Gemara comments that typically that's true b'shev al taseh. B'shev al taseh, the Gemara writes, Nivamos and Atzani, that can be a halacha l'doros. Whenever Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, do not be tokeh b'shofar. But sometimes, in principle, that would be true even b'kum v'seh, as Horasha. The Chacham have a right to tell you to violate an issa d'arais in order to accommodate another mitzvah. The Gemara gives us a fascinating example, Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, offering a korban outside of Makom HaMikdash in order to see to it that Knesset Yisrael will be saved, in order to inspire them to be chozer b'tshuva. The Gemara writes that was the mindset, the thinking of Eliyahu HaNavi, that there one could violate an issa d'arisa to accommodate a higher goal. Tosfos even has today as a fascinating issue. When Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel maintained that was true, by virtue of which authority? Was that b'toras chacham or was that b'toras navi? Was that a nevuah that in fact was true? As the Horasha, that's not considered to be rachmana l'tzlan a navi sheker. A navi will tell you that this mitzvah doesn't exist. That is an indicator of a navi sheker. If a navi will tell you the concept of an aver lishma, that under such conditions it is worth doing so, that is not called a navi sheker. And so also says today is whether Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel was as a navi or no, as a chacham, as tishvi yitaretz kushos vabayos, as a chacham. Therefore, yesh koach biyad chacham lakor davar min haTorah, at times even b'kum v'seh. It's fascinating that the Gemara writes that this is so obviously true that sometimes the Chachamim have a right to do so, but yet the Gemara never quotes a makor for this halacha of yesh koach biyad chachamim lakor davar min haTorah. And the Rambam in Perek Beis of Hilchos Mamrim mentions two possibilities, a svara and a drasha. The svara the Rambam writes is k'shem shaharofei choteich ever echad. Rachman Litzlan, that sometimes it's necessary for a doctor to amputate a limb in order to save the entire body. And the Chachamim also at times have to make that determination as well. We will sacrifice, so to speak, a mitzvah tkiyah shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos in order to accommodate, to accomplish a higher goal. And that's the svara that in fact the Rambam writes. Again, this is not something typically one would do, just as the doctor has to shoulder and the weight of that responsibility, whether amputation is or is not necessary, the Chachamim also have to weigh in balance, but Shem Sharof Echotech, Ever Echad. And then the Rambam quotes a drasha. The pasuk tells us, the Shomru B'nei Yisrael Shabbos. What exactly does Shmir Shabbos accomplish? La Asos Es HaShabbos Adosam B'Risolam. By being Shomer Shabbos, we see to it that Shabbos is everlasting. And the Rambam writes the flip side as well, that sometimes Chalel Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheishmor Shabbos Osarbin. Sometimes Chilul Shabbos can be warranted in order to ensure, to preserve, to safeguard Shmir Shabbos. Where did the Rambam get that from? Chalel Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheishmor Shabbos Osarbin. This is a drasha of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, the very end of Maseches Yoma, but in a very different context. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh was not describing Akira Sofer Min HaTorah, but something that touches on that, and that is pikuach nefesh. How do we know that pikuach nefesh, typically speaking, will override Yisurei Torah? To preserve a life, one will go ahead and violate almost all of the averos that one finds in the Torah. So the Gemara has several possibilities. One possibility the Gemara says, you know, is a kal v'chomer based on bris milah. Milah bizmana is Doche Shabbos uviyom Hashmini Yimo Besar Alasa uviyom Hashmini Afilo Beshabbos. So the Gemara suggests for Tikkun Eiver Echad, to perfect a single limb, one is Mechalal Shabbos, a serving to save an entire life. That's an important drasha, because the Gon points out that, you know, much literature, whether Pikuach Nefesh is Hutra, whether Pikuach Nefesh is Dechuya, what exactly is the basis of the Heter? Well, if it's sourced in the mitzvah of Bris Milah, which is Zelche Shabbos, Bris Milah and Shabbos, is that Hutra or is that Dechuya? That itself is a fundamental Machlokas Rishon, and possibly a Machlokas, the Machaber Namah, right, in Hochos Milan Simin Reish Samach Vav, an interesting issue. Machaber and Raman, earlier times, this sounds foreign to us, but there used to be Machaber two different Moalim. One to remove the Or HaMila, and the other to remove or to roll back the Or HaPri. There are different stages of the Mitzvah Bris Milah. We'll have a single Moal who does both, but in earlier times, two Moalim used to participate in a Bris. One Or HaMila, the second Or HaPriya. And the Mechaber and Ramah debate the following: what happens if it's a Milah on Shabbos? The Mechaber writes, during the week one has that option, but not on Shabbos, because after all, Mal v'lo Torah ki'ilu lo mal. A Milah Ksher requires both elements. So let's assume a Mechaber, the single mole, only to perform Milah and not Priya. Milah is Chilul Shabbos, Daraisa. And yet, there is no fulfillment of the mitzvah of Bris Milah. So therefore the Mechaber writes that how can we call a Moal one to be Mechal Shabbos and yet without the mitzvah of Bris Milah? So therefore one Moal will do so, a single act of Chilul Shabbos, but Bris Milah is Doche Shabbos. And the Ramah writes that, is that necessarily true? Let me ask you, Avodas HaKorbanos, Doche Shabbos, good? A Kohen does Shechita as an example. If we would stop there and just do Shechita, that's a mitzvah of Havas HaKarban? Certainly not. That's one necessary step. Does the halacha dictate that the Kohen who does Shechita have to do the entire Avoda? Of course not. Many Kohanim would participate, and even though one Kohen is doing the Shechita, which in and of itself is an act of Chilul Shabbos, but a Karban Kavua, which is Kavua Lozman Doches HaShabbos, in such a case, that is allowed, we don't argue that's Chilul Shabbos without the ensuing mitzvah. The process will continue, the mitzvah is performed, and all that is considered to be Avodah, which is Doches HaShabbos. Just as that's true when it comes to Hakravas HaKarbanos. So therefore, the Ramah writes the same should be true when it comes to Bris Milah as well. The Vilna Gaon points out perhaps there's a fundamental difference. The Gemara tells us explicitly that Avodas HaKarbanos on Shabbos is Hutra. No, the Torah tells us expressly, Uviyom HaShabbos, Shnei Kvasim Ben Yishana Tamimim, offer these karbanos on Shabbos. Or you'll ask me, how can you do so? How can you do so? The Torah says this is what you must do so. So therefore, if something is Hutra, so in that instance, then you can have multiple participation. However, if something is Duhuyu, or the Kiyum Mitzvah is Doche, maybe that's the Chiddush that requires that the one who is engaging in the Avera, he is the one who is performing the mitzvah, and one cannot necessarily assume that what is true of Hakravas HaKarbanos is true of Bris Milah. It's an important Torah, Machlokas Rishonim, whether Milah and Shabbos, Hutra, Dechuya, but it's not only relevant to Bris Milah, that's one of the sources, the Pikuach Nefesh is Doches HaShabbos as well, the Sugin Yom Adav Pehei and Adav Pevav. Good, so therefore that's one possibility. The other possibility is the drash of Hashem and Asya. How do we know the Pikuach Nefesh is Doches HaShabbos? After all, the Shom Rabbanei Yisrael HaShabbos, Chalosh Shabbos Achas, Kedei Sheishmar Shabbos HaShabbos. Good. So what the Gemara writes in reference to Pikuach Nefesh, the Rambam extends to Akiras Davar Min HaTorah. This is somewhat surprising because of the following. This is a Ha'arah that the Netziv points out in the very first daf in the Shultos. When you read that Gemara in Yuma, Pikuach Nefesh, Doches HaShabbos, seemingly the Gemara rejects Rav Shimon ben Asya. Because the Gemara comes up with another drasha, that of Shmuel. How do you know Pikuach Nefesh is Dofi Surin? Because the Pasuk says, V'chai Bahem, V'lo Shiyamus Bahem. And therefore, that's the drasha of Shmuel. And the Maskanas HaGemara is, Nekot Shmuel B'yadcha, sees the Shita of Shmuel, because you know what?
If you look at all of the other possibilities, because nefesh, which is Doche Shabbos, all I would know is that Vaday Pikuach Nefesh is Doches HaShabbos. But we know La Halacha, you don't need Vaday Pikuach Nefesh, even a Safek Pikuach Nefesh is Doches HaShabbos. Where do you see from the other drashos the Safek Pikuach Nefesh is Doches HaShabbos? We don't see it from B'Shavanes HaShabbos, we don't see it from Bris Mila, that's not a Safek. That's an absolute Vaday that the mitzvah Bris Mila is being performed. Shmuel v'chai b'hem means absolute chayim, as opposed to any measure of suffix at all. So the Gemara writes that the drush of Shmuel is the primary drush of Halacha, because that teaches us not only Vaday, but it teaches us suffix as well. So when you leave that Sugin Yuma, you get the impression that we reject the other possibilities and adopt the Shita of Shmuel. In which case it's surprising that the Rambam in any context should quote that drasha of Shimon ben Asya that seemingly is an attempt to have a mina, but not true, the maskana. So then it points out that that really is not the case at all. The Gemara points out that, you know, there is an added dimension to the drasha of Shmuel that we couldn't necessarily have gleaned from the other drashos, but the other drashos are absolutely true. Rav Shimon Asiya's drasha of Chalal Shabbos Achas Kishishmer Shabbos Asarbe is a necessary drasha. You'll ask me, is it fully sufficient? I would argue, well, if that's all you had, you would only know Vaday, so we need Shmuel's addition to account for the case of Safek. But Rav Shimon Asiya's drasha and the concept of Chalal Shabbos Achas Kishishmo Shabbos Asarbe, that certainly is true halacha. One could ask an obvious question, but why is it necessary? Now, Shmuel, I understand, is needed to teach us even Safek Pikuach Nefesh is Doches HaShabbos. But once you have the drasha of Shmuel, why do you need any other drasha at all? You're admitting that Rav Shimon Asiya is not sufficient, but Shmuel's drasha seemingly is fully sufficient, so why do you need any other drasha? Why would we maintain Chalal Shabbos Achas Kishishma Shabbos Asarbe? So the answer apparently is as follows, that not God cuts both ways, that we require the drasha of Shmuel, but there's certain things that we glean from Shimon ben Asiya that we would not be able to derive from Shmuel. I'll give you an example. The Ramban writes in Torah Sadam, can one be Mechalal Shabbos to save the life of an Uber? Save the life of an Uber. Right? An expectant mother in distress. Do we assume that that is called Pikuach Nefesh, which is Doches HaShabbos? Sometimes we'll assume that any sakana to the Vlad is a sakana to the mother as well. That's what Rashi comments in the very end of Maseches Yuma. And if that's true, then the Pikuach Nefesh could be the Pikuach Nefesh of the mother. But let's assume, for example, that the doctors can confidently say that we're not posing any risk to the mother, but the Vlad is in distress. Chilul Shabbos on behalf of the Vlad. Well, if the drasha is the Chai Bahem, the Ramban writes in Torah Sadam, one now has to ask themselves that, you know, this Vlad, this Uber, does it have the status of a Chai? Or does it not? If you're going to apply the drasha of a Chai Bahem, so therefore, that Vlad would have to be a Ben Kayam? Maybe sometimes yes, but maybe sometimes no. Maybe it was not sufficiently developed at all that one should necessarily assume that that is true. Maybe one could argue, well look, if the Mishnah tells us that you can sacrifice a Vlad to save the life of the mother, doesn't that seemingly indicate that the mother obviously is a Bar Kayama, but not necessarily the Vlad? That's what many Rishonim maintain. And therefore, if that really is true, we can't apply the drasha of v'chai b'hem. V'chai b'hem means that you have a bar chayim, you have a ben kayamav. You know what the Ramban writes? True. But you still have the drasha of Shem ben Asiya, Chalal Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yishmor Shabbos Asarbe. That svara is compelling, even if technically speaking one would argue, not necessarily a full-fledged ben kayamav,
But that potential, kidei sheyishmer shabbos asarbei, that can apply even to avlad as well. That's the chiddush the Ramban. Even if one were to argue that avlad or this avlad is not necessarily a bar hachti, a ben kayama, but nonetheless, we would be machal shabbos in that purpose. In fact, in its tziv rights and shultos, what happens of avlad not vadai pikoach nefesh, but safek pikoach nefesh of the avlad, because safek is derived from Shmuel's v'chai b'hem, and the vlad is derived from Rav Shimon Asya's Chalal Shabbos Achos. Yeah, but now that you have both drushos, even vlad and even safek, so bozev limir al zeh, and therefore you have a right to create that confluence of the drushos, in which case even safek pikuach nefesh, right, would be something that is worthy of Chalal Shabbos in order to save the vlad. Or I'll give you another fascinating application. A mechaber, Hilchos Shabbos, Simin Shin Vav. All of a sudden, Rachmana Litzlan on Shabbos, right, a child is seized by a cult. I will honestly argue, we have no reason to fear physical pikuach nefesh. But spiritual pikuach nefesh, spiritual attrition, the fact that they will acculturate, indoctrinate this child, absolute. Is that called pikuach nefesh? Is that called pikuach nefesh? The Mechaber writes, absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. That also is called pikuach nefesh. There's pikuach nefesh in the realm of physical pikuach nefesh. There's pikuach nefesh in the realm of ruchnias as well. And therefore, if a child is taken and one has reason to believe that the child will be, right, acculturated, indoctrinated, taken away from the Torah Hashem, that is called pikuach nefesh, and that warrants chilul Shabbos daraisa. How do you know that that's true? How do you know that that's true? Maybe one could argue that, you know, that's not necessarily so obvious from the drasha of Shmuel of v'chai ben v'lo shiyamos b'hem. Maybe one could debate. Maybe one could argue v'chai means physical chayim. Maybe one could argue that no, the concept of chiyus of v'chai even applies spiritually as well. The Gemara Makos has a fantastic drasha. A Rebbe has a Talmud, and the Talmud, Rachmana Litzlan, kills someone b'shogeg. So the Talmud is sent into Golos. No? So the Gemara says, Maglin Rabba Imo. Maglin Rabba Imo. The Rebbe has to close down his yeshiva, and the Rebbe has to go into Golos as well. Right? How do you know that's true? The Rebbe has to accompany the Talmud, the Pasuk says so? Yeah, the Pasuk says he's sent into Golos, into the Aniklat, and V'chai. V'chai. V'chai means he has to have his lifeline. His lifeline is, right, the connection that he has to his Rebbe. You know, an Ir Miklat wasn't an empty city. Many were Ari Levim. There were other yeshivas there, another Rebbeim there, another Rosh Yeshiva there. No, but he has the right to claim that my chiyus is my attachment. No, so the Rambam writes, Nachas Rotzeach, that to be able to exist without fulfillment in the Torah Hashem, and that's considered to be a death sentence. And the Torah says, v'chai b'hem. So not so unusual that the concept of v'chai will have a spiritual component to it as well. That certainly is true. But one could argue that v'chadra shinvav mamish v'pshem rasya chalel shabbos achas k'dei sheyishmer shabbos asarbei. Yishmer shabbos asarbei tells us that we treat a spiritual risk as pikuach nefesh. And therefore, there is what to be gleaned from the drasha of Shimon Asi that we would not have learned from the drasha necessarily of Shmuel. And that's what the Rambam writes, the third chiddush. Not only Ubar, not only Ruchnias, but Akiras Dover Menatorah. Akiras Dover Menatorah. How do we know that Yesh Koach Biachachom Lakar Dover Menatorah? The answer is, it's based on the Shomru B'nei Yisrael HaShabbos. So therefore, that concept as well, that sometimes we'll assume Chalel Shabbos Achas, Kadei Sheyishmer Shabbos Asarbei. And again, that balance, that concept, not only relevant to the Akira Sevamina Torah, but relevant for the Chatei Bishvil Sheyizke. In those cases, no doubt, one's mindset is absolutely critical. When the Chachamim tell us that we're tying your hands and you cannot be Tokeh V'Shofar, it is clear that the tongue, is considered to be that which is pressing, the reason, the mindset, the lishma, that is considered to be something that is absolutely, absolutely essential. And in fact, based on Tshuva Sarash, you find this in the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Tzitzis, in Siman Ches, that even though sometimes we assume that Gzeiros D'Rabbanan are lo plug, even when the reason doesn't apply, nonetheless the halacha absolutely does apply. Batal tam lo batal takana. The Rush points out that doesn't necessarily apply to cases of akiras davar min haTorah. When it comes to akiras davar min haTorah, the mindset, the reason, the circumstance is absolutely critical. Right there, that sense of balance, that sense of lishma is considered to be absolutely vital, absolutely critical. Now, that's a fascinating issue. That sense of balance, chatei bishul sheyizkeh, the whole concept of naver lishma, when the chachamim have to decide that sacrifice mitzvah to accommodate mitzvah B, right? All of that, license, no doubt, is granted, but one has to know, right, the application of these halachos. When in fact one assumes that that is something that is worthy of, right, invoking that principle of yesh koach biyad chachamim lakadava min haTorah. So therefore, in that spirit of what we've been discussing, the cases of mitzvos ben adam l'chaveiro, mitzvos ben adam l'makom, the possibility of assuming a chatei b'shul sheyizkeh, the fact that to benefit another, I can commit an avera, in principle Tosfos writes, we do apply that concept in many, many cases, but nonetheless one has to be assured it's being done with the right mindset, that the balance is correct, that the application is one which is justified, similar to the case of Akiras Davar Min haTorah. When it comes to obligations that one finds Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, so generally speaking, we would certainly categorize these in terms of mitzvos sichlios. We know when it comes to Tariag mitzvos in general, the Rambam makes this distinction. The Rambam discusses this at length in Perek Vav of Shmoneh Prakim, the Rambam's introduction to Meseches Avos, that mitzvos Hashem can break down into different types of categories, not only mitzvos asei, mitzvos los asei, but even mitzvos sichlios as opposed to mitzvos shamanios. The Rambam uses the term. Sichlios means it's dictated by the seichel, even if the Torah would not have insisted, but nonetheless it is something that a person would have reasoned on his own. And mitzvah shmoyos means a sense of positive law. We call chukim in that sense that it is simply because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to do so, therefore we perform and we adhere to that admonition, not indicating that it's beyond our, right, scope of reason, but certainly, right, from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, clearly that there is rhyme and reason even to many of these aspects of chukim as well. So no doubt that one is obligated to observe, right, all of the mitzvos Hashem, chukim, mishkotim, mitzvos sichlios, and mitzvos that do not meet that category of mitzvos sichlios, no doubt, right, certainly that is the case. Is there a difference in terms of perspective between the way that one views one as opposed to the other? After all, when it comes to aspects of mitzvos ben adam l'makom, there are chukim, mishpatim. When it comes to shibudim ben adam l'chavero, those no doubt are mitzvos sichlios. One doesn't find, for example, an obligation which is ben adam l'chavero that I would characterize as being a chok. Beyond reason, nichum aveva, and bikrocholim, kibud aveim, gemilus chasodim, all of that is, right, just simply only a function of positive law. Well, certainly has that element of mitzvah sichlios. So we even pointed out a comment that the Kli Chemda has, that's found in the Hashmatos, the Parshas Kiseitze, that even though the Gemara debates whether mitzvah srichas kavana, mitzvah sein srichas kavana, machlokes tanaim, Rabbi Yossi Nachachai, machlokes amarayim, Rabban Rav Zeira, machlokes rishonim, Judaism in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Samach, machlokes throughout, mitzvah srichas, mitzvah sein srichas kavana, Kli Chemda writes an important issue. What about when it comes, for example, to mitzvah ben adam l'chaveir? Would one assume that absolutely mitzvos trichos kavana and without kavana meaningless, worthless? Would one argue that that's true? So Kli Chemda writes the Chiddush that not necessarily. Maybe one could argue that everyone would agree that if you have a mitzvah which has been adam l'chavero, ideally, of course, one should have in mind the proper kavana. I'm doing so to fulfill Ratzon Hashem, but perhaps undeniably, even if that mindset is absent, but there is a key mitzvah. After all, maybe one could argue that eating matzah is not considered to be a mitzvah unless that's my mindset. But you're going to argue that when it comes to an obligation which has been adam lechavero, that the nicham avim, the bikur acholim, the hachnasa sarachim was ineffective. It didn't have any impact at all because I didn't, certainly any mitzvah which is ikro b'totzah, where the Torah emphasizes the consequence, the result, the poyotze, then perhaps one could assume that mitzvahs ain't tzrichos kavanah. The comment the Ramban has in Chulin Daf Lamed Aleph, when it comes to two cases the Ramban writes, not mitzvahs ben adam lechavero, but I think they're similar. The Ramban writes this when it comes, for example, to shchita, and when it comes to tevila b'mikvah and shchita. The Ramban writes that even if one were to assume that mitzvos tzrichos kavana, nonetheless, a person does an act of shchita b'li kavana. So now what would you argue? The animal is alive? Not alive. The animal is an avela? Not an avela? Right? That certainly is ikro b'totzah. And therefore, even though ideally the zavachta kasher tzivisicha, one should have the proper frame of mind, but nonetheless, it is a shchita kshera because the shchita is ikro b'totzah. The same thing the Ramban writes is true when it comes to tvila. The person is not going to remain tamei even if he didn't say that he muchan mazuman, that they're having in mind that he's doing so the shei mitzvah. What do tvila and shchita have in common? I would suggest that point of ikra b'totzah, the consequence of the tefillah, the consequence of the shechita, that is considered to be that which is absolutely critical. I would even add the following case to the list. The Baal HaMemra of mitzvos tzrichos kavana is Rav Yossi. If you look in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chof Zayin, Rav Yossi maintains that bris milah is kshera even without kavana. Even without kavan. The Gemara discusses whether a kusi, right, that can serve as a mol, not serve as a mol, he's not mechag m'shei mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi says that no, the meal will be kshera even without proper kavanah saleh. How do you resolve that apparent difficulty? Rabbi Yossi maintains that mitzvah srichos kavana, why should bris milah be different? I would suggest that bris milah is similar to the case of shchita, similar to the case of tefila, and that is bris milah is ikro b'totzah. The fact that the child is now chosum b'os bris kodesh, the fact that the child now is no longer an arel, that's incidental? Isn't that what is driving the very act of bris milah? Isn't that something which is ikro b'totzah, in which case, so therefore it's similar to shchita, similar to tevila, and therefore we would assume that b'dieved, that mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana in those particular instances. Marachor zeruah in Simin Kuf Kafes writes, that's the secret to the shlichus. You know, the lengthy discussion that Ksos says in Shin Pei Beis and elsewhere, which mitzvos do we allow for shlichus, which mitzvos is there no shlichus, which mitzvahs do we argue don't even require shlichus? Marachor Zeruah writes that this is the factor. Now, theme for a separate shir, Marachor Zeruah writes, this is the factor. When you speak about a maisa ha-mitzvah, eating matzah, yeshiva basukkah, hanachas tefillin, in such a case, how can you envision shlichus? The Torah says you must do. But in cases where the Torah says that no, that this act must be performed, not that you must, but rather, ikro b'totzah. That's when one could envision shlichus, or maybe even arguing a step further, you don't even require shlichus. If I were to ask you, what are the sources of shlichus? Where do you see in the Torah shlichus works? Shlichus minayin, as the Gemara writes at the very beginning of the second paragraph of Kedushin. Well, one possibility is shchita sakarvan, or shachat to osel. The other the Gemara mentions is afrashas tumas amaisos, kein tarimu gam atem, or gerishin v'shilach v'shilcha. What do these cases have in common? I would suggest there as well. Now, afrashas tumas amaisos, or shchita, or cases of gittin kedushin, aren't all those cases ikro b'totza? Now, what is driving the chiyuv hafrasha? It's just incidental that after your mafrish, now you have chun v'sukanim, and now you have truma and maiser. No, that's the essence of the hafrasha. And the same is true when it comes to shchita, the same is true when it comes to gittin kedushin. right? The consequence, the effect of the Maisa Kedushin, the Maisa Gerushin is considered to be primary, and therefore one could envision these cases as well. So perhaps this is true when it comes to elements of mitzvos ben adam l'chavero, that the mitzvos ben adam l'chavero ikro b'tiltzah. And therefore one could suggest that, you know, that even if one doesn't have that ideal, machshava, kavana saleh, the bottom line, if the totsah is accomplished in such a case, we would assume that that is considered to be right, a mitzvah, that I have provided for another, even if I was lacking the kavana which is necessary, l'chatchila. And therefore, the mitzvahs, the machaveros, mitzvah sichlios, those are mitzvahs that are ikro v'totsah. The Rambam there in Shmona Prakim, in Perek Vav, raises a fascinating issue. There the Rambam discusses two individuals. And the Rambam refers to this as well later in Avos and Perakei, right? Hakovishes Yitzra. That's Hakovishes Yitzra. Now the Rambam writes that Kovishes Yitzra is exactly what the Mishnah is referring to of Lufum Sara Agra. The Rambam writes Lufum Sara Agra. What exactly does that mean? That the more difficult it is for me to perform mitzvah physically, that's the greater schar that one would receive. The Rambam writes the fum sragra means that the struggle that a person is going through, right? The kvisha sayetze, that the person who is kovish is yitzra, right, warrants a great amount of schar. And the Rambam, in his beginning of his Pirush in Avos and Paraglava, Shmon Pratim, raises this issue. Who is greater, the chassid or the kovishes yitzra? That's what the Rambam asks. No, a person has no conflict, no struggle whatsoever. No, performance of this mitzvah, right? It's a breeze, no easy street, no? And another person grapples and battles and struggles, and he overcomes. So whose schar is considered to be that which is greater? The Rambam writes that if you were asked the philosophers would tell you that the schar of the chassid is much greater. The schar of the chassid is much greater. Now, imagine you're about to, a shidduch, a business deal, right? And this person tells you, that I have this burning desire to rob and to steal and to kill, but I'm able to overcome that particular struggle, right? And therefore I refrain. That person is a Baal Madrega, right? The person whose tendency is, right, to commit terrible ra, well, good, he overcomes, far better overcoming than succumb. But a person who would tell you, I would never envision engaging in any such, isn't that considered to be an ideal? So the Rambam writes, if you ask typically, the Rambam writes this name of the philosophers, obviously a person who is struggle-free, that is a Baal Madrega. And a person who has to grapple with an intense struggle not to steal, even if the outcome is that ultimately he refrains, but you don't get bragging rights for the desire, that deep-seated passion that a person has to do that which is wrong. But the Rambam writes, there are makaros and chazal that don't seem to bear that out. The Rambam writes, the fum saragra means kvisha sayetze. The Rambam quotes a Sifra, right, in Parshas Kedoshim, of Shimon Gamliel, that Al Yomar Adam, the Rambam writes, a person should not say that, you know what, Neveva, terrible, Basar Bachalav, disgusting, no, it's something that I would, no, a person should say that, you know, the Efshin, is something I could see myself doing, but Torah Amrlo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. And therefore, I naturally, obviously, would refrain. So the Rambam writes, how do you resolve that difficulty? On the one hand, isn't it obvious, the Rambam writes, that the philosophers are correct, that the chassid is a Baal Madrega? But the Sifra writes that a person's mindset, a person's attitude should not be that everything is all terrible, but nonetheless, one could envision some good, but if the Torah says no, the Torah says no. So how do you resolve that difficulty? So the Rambam writes, the answer is a difference between mitzvah sichlios as opposed to mitzvah shemayos, the difference between chukim and mishpatim. That's what the Rambam writes.
When it comes, for example, to mitzvah sifrius, when it comes to mishpat, then the Rambam writes the philosophers are absolutely true, right? When it comes to mitzvah sifrius, like gezel and ritzicha and the like, a person say, I am so tempted to do so, but the Torah says, no, that's not a bama drege at all. But then you have shatnez, you have basar b'chalav, right? Chukim. There, the perspective is, I refrain because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. And if a person will say that, you know, I could reasonably argue that, you know, this dish seems somewhat tempting, this dish perhaps tastes very, very good, but I cannot because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no, well, the Rambam writes, that's not a chisaron at all. So the Rambam writes, that's the difference between mitzvah sichlius and mitzvah shmaios. The person will say, I have no desire, right, to help anyone at all. No, but nebuch, the Torah says there's a mitzvah of yikracholim, nechavim, gnius chasadim. That's a terrible, terrible chisara. Right? But if a person will have that attitude regarding a chok, the Rambam writes, that's something which is, right, not inappropriate. It's not considered to be a chisaron at all. It's interesting in detail because when the Rambam lists examples, right, the Rambam tells us the following, that what about when it comes to cases of arayos? How would you categorize that? Mitzvah sichlios, mitzvah shmaios, chukim, mishkotim, how would you characterize that? So it's interesting. When you look in the Gemara in Yuman, of Samar Zayin, the Gemara gives that Arayos is an example of Mishpat. And when the Rambam there in Shmona Prakim, based on the Sifra, discusses this distinction, the Rambam writes that Arayos is in a category like Basar B'Chalav and Shachnis. So an interesting issue within this distinction, how does one view, right, Arayos, is it category A, is it category B? I had thought to suggest the following, not a stira at all, but it depends on which Arayos. And recently, I was learning the Pirush of the Rashbats, right, on Maseches Avos and Perek A, and the Rashbats, the Tashbetz, right, writes this almost explicitly. He writes that when the Rambam describes that this is mitzvah shmaios, it's not mitzvah sichlios, the Rambam is not referring to all arayos, it's only certain arayos, for example, achosa. The person would ask you the following, you know that the Torah tells us that marrying your aunt is an erva. What about, right, the opposite, right, marrying one's niece, heter gamur? Why exactly is that true, that an uncle marrying a niece is heter gamur, right, and marrying one's aunt is an iser erva? That element, right, is not necessarily part of mitzvah sichlios. That is considered to be similar to chok, some of the details of the classification of certain arayos. When it comes, for example, let's say to an iser of eshes ish, and the like, in such an instance, one would not characterize that as being a chok, but rather as part of mitzvah sichlios. I would suggest, and Rashbats writes this explicitly, that whether you're characterized as arayos as A or B in such a case, right, that simply depends on the iser erva, that arayos is a fascinating domain where, right, one has examples of both within the same gedder, that one finds lalacha. But it's a fascinating distinction. When it comes to these types of obligations, right, then we certainly assume shibudim ben adam mechavero is mitzvah sichlios. In such a case, then, right, the chosid is considered to be paramount. The desire of the Torah is not merely that one should do, but also that one's mindset is important, that this is something that a person should have a burning desire to perform that particular mitzvah. Even if a person doesn't have the requisite kavanas halev, one would argue that his act is not meaningless. You're still benefiting the other. But in terms of the ideal sense, that no doubt that mindset is considered to be that which is critical. So it's an important, broad distinction, but very, very relevant for
differences between Shibudin ben Adam lechaveral, essentially, like Mishpatim mitzvah sichlios, as opposed to mitzvahs ben al makom, where one has various examples, and a fascinating distinction of the Rambam that perhaps there is a difference between these categories in assessing the status of the chassid as opposed to the one who was called Esh Yisrael. Thank you.